Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God, testifying about his gifts and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Today I want us to focus on back to the future. There have been different time travel books that have been written. There have been different time travel movies that have been made. But the one that I remember from when I was in high school, and probably you have other things that you might remember as far as books and movies in your time growing up, was the one with Michael J. Fox, Back to the Future, about a young teenage boy who had an eccentric friend who had taken a DeLorean and made a time machine out of it. And so you have a series of movies where he goes to the past, sometimes his family's past. Then he goes to the Wild West, another episode, I think he goes to the future and so forth. But he travels through time and is able to see both past, present, and future. What I want us to think about for today's lesson is how faith in the mind allows us to do somewhat the same thing. We have started a series called Faith Is, and sometimes we call Wednesday Hump Day of the Week. Well, this is the hump sermon, if you will, of our series on Faith Is. In our first lesson, we talked about faith in facts, and we looked at places like Hebrews chapter 11, we looked at John chapter 8 and Romans chapter 10, and focused on faith in facts. We then talked about faith in the dark. And we focused on especially Romans chapter 1 and Psalm chapter 19. And talked about God's revelation through the world and the Word. This morning I want us to talk about faith in the future. And as we do so, the biblical bullseye that I want us to aim at is that faith travels through time. I guess I would add to that, faith travels through time and space. That faith allows us to see the unseen. If you would join with me as we look at Hebrews chapter 11. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, look in verse 1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things that we cannot see. I want you to think about that first lesson in this series. We talked about different facts that we believe in. For example, in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about that we believe God created the world. In verse 6, it talks about we believe that God exists. There are certain facts that are foundational to our relationship with God. Facts about God, His existence, His creation of the world, His sending of His Son dying for our sins, His Son being resurrected for our sins. In that second lesson, as we talked about faith in the dark, we talked about the fact that faith is based to some degree on evidence. That we are not taking, while we may be taking a leap of faith, we're not taking a blind leap of faith, a blind leap in the dark. As Romans 1 says, because of the world that is around us, we are without excuse. And so we talked about some evidences of a creator in the world. And we talked about some evidences found in God's Word, in this wonderful document that we have that has been preserved for us that tells us about the nature and will of God. It also tells us something about ourselves. But what I want us to see this morning is that faith has to go beyond the evidence. Yes, there is some evidence. I don't think that we're bereft of evidence when it comes to why we believe in God. But ultimately, to believe in God, I've got to go beyond that. There may be, and I do believe there are evidences in the world that there had to have been a maker, a designer, a shaper. But at the same time, I can't see that maker. I can't see that designer. I can't reach out and shake his hand. And so that tells me that ultimately, while there is some evidence that there has to be a divine being, faith has to go beyond the evidence. It has to go beyond what can be seen. And it has to go beyond what can be read. So think about what's found in Hebrews chapter 11. I want us to back up to Hebrews chapter 10. I want us to remember what the Hebrew writer is trying to do in this book. For you have need of endurance, he says in verse 36 of chapter 10, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. I want us to realize that there in a nutshell is what the book of Hebrews is about. It's written to people facing persecution who are tempted to go back on their faith. And so what he's trying to do is to give them the courage to endure, to hang on, to keep their faith. Up to this point, he's emphasized the greatness of Jesus and how great Jesus is, greater than everything they've ever known, especially in the old law of Moses. But he's going to give a little different emphasis in Hebrews chapter 11. And so I just want us to realize that what is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and following, fits into that overall theme of the book of Hebrews. And so he begins chapter 11 by talking about what real faith is and what real faith does. That faith is able to see the unseen. I believe it's the easy-to-read version that says that faith allows us to believe things are real that we cannot see. And that's what faith does. It allows us to be able to go beyond the visible. But I want you to notice specifically what it says down in verse 6. If we want to please God, we must be people of faith. And then it tells us what we need to be able to believe. We must believe that He is, and that connects to that first lesson in this series where we talked about faith in facts. We need to believe that He exists and that He made the world, etc. But I want you to notice a second aspect of faith that he talks about there. Faith not only must believe that He is, but faith must believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. All right, it allows us to look to the past and to the future. Faith looks to the past in that it allows me to believe or to see a God creating the world. So I need to believe that He exists and He made the world. That is a prerequisite for being in a relationship with God. So I must be able to look to the past in my mind and believe that there is a Creator who created this world, and that that Creator continues to exist, and that we exist because of Him. But my faith also must look to the future and the reward that lies yet in the future. You see, faith allows me to see unseen facts. I wasn't there when God made the world, but through faith I see God making the world. But faith not only focuses on unseen facts, it focuses on an unseen future. God has promised to reward His people, and faith sees that reward when as yet we cannot hold it, when we cannot touch it, when we cannot look upon it. So faith involves not only focusing on facts, but on what God will do in the future, but on what God has promised, what God has prophesied. I want you to look at what he says in verses 7 through 9. It's just a couple of examples of how he illustrates his point. See, what he does in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 1 you get faith defined. And then starting with verse 2, he illustrates faith. He gives us examples of what it looks like in the lives of people in the Old Testament. And then in chapter 12 you've got faith applied. Faith applied to your life and faith applied to my life. But look at a couple of the people he lists as examples of faith. Beginning in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. You see, what's found there in verse 7 and following it, those are illustrations of what he just said in verse 6. He says, to be pleasing to God, to be in a relationship with God, I need to believe that He rewards His people. I need to have the ability to see the unseen. And then in verse 7, he talks about a Noah that built an ark that he had not yet seen, that envisioned a flood that had not yet come, an Abraham that went to a land that he had not yet laid eyes on. And what he does in Hebrews chapter 11 is he then gives us all of these great people of faith in the Old Testament. He gives us an Enoch and an Abel and a Noah, an Abraham and a Sarah and an Isaac and a Jacob and a Joseph and Moses and the children of Israel and Rahab. And he talks about these people of faith and he pulls out episodes from their lives, episodes of faith. And then he, at the end, throws in the names of people like Gideon and Jephthah and Barak and David and Samuel, the prophets of the Old Testament. He doesn't elaborate on events from their life, but he throws them out and says, I could list many more names. And what he's doing is he's saying these are people who, through faith, saw the unseen. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the artist. I want you to think about the person who paints or draws. Okay, I know that Jonas is an artist, and my daughter Hannah likes to draw, and there are others here. I know Miss Johnsy is a painter, and there are many folks in the congregation here that like to draw and to paint. And my understanding is those who are artists often can see to a degree what they're going to paint or draw before they draw it. Okay, you got certain great sculptors. You can give them a chunk of rock. To me, it just looks like a rock. But they see a sculpture of David. You can give someone a piece of wood. I remember when I went to Israel, and I can remember all the things they had designed out of olive wood. And I remember bringing home to my dad a carving of a shepherd out of olive wood. And I've got in my office some little camels that I think a lot of folks get when they go there that's carved out of olive wood. You see, I see that chunk of wood, I just see a piece of wood. But an artist in Israel saw a shepherd with one of his sheep and his staff in his hand. If you go to see a doctor to some degree, before he or she runs their tests and their imaging units and so forth, tries to picture what might be going on in your body based on what they have studied. They are looking into the unseen. Now, as you think about people who have the ability to see the unseen, I want you to think about the people of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. As you think about an architect that pictures the building before the groundwork is even laid, I want you to think about a Noah who saw a future ark. He'd likely never seen one before. Some think he may have never even seen rain before. But when God said it was going to be, and when God asked him to build it, he saw it. Abraham had never been to the promised land, but he believed it was there. He saw the land in the future. Sarah saw a baby in the future. All these great people of faith saw something that was not yet physically visible right before their eyes. The children of Israel saw the walls of Jericho on the ground while yet they still stood. David saw a fallen giant while he still yet stood before him in all of his armor. Rahab saw the God of a foreign nation, a God she had never known, as His armies encircled her city. Faith is able to see beyond what is right before the eyes. Faith is able to see the unseen. I want you to think about what he's saying here in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, connected back to verse 36 of chapter 10. Remember what he has said to these Christians who first read the book of Hebrews. He's saying, don't give up on your faith. If you will endure, if you will obey God, you will be rewarded by God. Look what he says, you will receive what was promised. Then down in verse 6 he says, people of faith must have the ability to see that God rewards. In other words, he's saying, if you will hang on, you will receive what is promised. And people of faith are able to see what is promised and to believe it will be given while yet it lies in the future. And so what he's doing with each of those examples is he's driving that point home. He's saying, Enoch did it. Noah did it. Abel did it. You can do it. They were able to see that God keeps His promises, though it was not right in front of them. And though some of the promises would not be revealed until after they had departed from this life. But they were able to see that not only God is, but that God is a rewarder. That God keeps His promises. God keeps His Word. Look in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And if indeed they had been thinking of the country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. You see, it was really the descendants of Abraham who would fully experience the realization of His promise. The promise that God made to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12. But Abraham was able to see it, even though some of it lay beyond the extension of his life on this earth. And what he's saying is that's how all of these people lived. They believed that even if they didn't see everything that God promised in their lifetimes, God would do it. And that their descendants and the world would see the realization of the will of God. And so what he's saying to those Christians is, you need to have that same faith. And he says, ultimately, they weren't really living, these people of faith, they weren't really living for anything they could see on this earth. That ultimately, what Noah was after was not a boat. That ultimately, what Abraham was after was not a land. That ultimately, what the people of Israel was after was not, they were not after the falling of a wall. Or ultimately, David wasn't after the falling of a giant. What ultimately they were after was being able to live in a city in the presence of God. They wanted to enjoy an eternal reward in the presence of the Creator of the universe. That's what they really saw in their future. And that allowed them to keep their faith no matter what they were facing. Our biblical bullseye for this lesson is that faith travels through time. It travels through time and space. I want you to notice what we've focused on. As we look at the great people of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, first of all, they saw the power of God at work in their lives. They saw that they were not in the world alone. They saw that whatever they faced, they didn't face it by their own power, but by the power of God. When the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho, it may not have come across to them as the greatest military strategy. Why parade ourselves and our strength day after day right out here in front of the people of Jericho? But they did it, though at first it may not have made sense to them, because they trusted in the power of God. They believed that victory was found not just in how they carried out their tactics, but in how they obeyed and trusted God. But not only did they see the power of God at work in their lives, they saw the possible. They saw what could be. They saw what could happen. When everybody else saw a great warrior, a giant in the middle of that valley that could not be defeated, David saw the possible. And he saw that all he needed was a few stones and a slingshot, and the possible could become the real. When everybody else mocked Noah as he's building that great boat, they no doubt thought he was crazy. But Noah saw the possible. For 100 years, day after day, he took up his nails, and he took up his hammer, and he built. Because he believed in what was possible. But in the end, they ultimately saw a place of their reward, where they would be in the presence of God. You know, I remember years ago reading about a soldier who was a prisoner of war during the Vietnam War. And according to the story that I read, every day this soldier would play to deal with being a prisoner, to deal with the oppression around him. Every day he would play 18 holes of golf in his mind. He would go step by step, working his way along the course, picking out every club for every shot. The story I read goes on to say that when he finally was released and was healthy and well again, he ended up later winning a golf tournament. All those years he didn't play golf with his hands, but he played golf in his mind. I guess what I'm really after today is, what do we see in the mind's eye of faith? Are we confined to the here and now? Is our life captive to only what's right in front of us? Because you see, what faith does is it allows me to see the past and the realities of it, and it allows me to see the future and the possibilities of it. Without faith, I am a prisoner of here and now and what is right before me. But all the great people of faith were people who were able through faith to be transported to beyond the prison of the here and now. You see, I think what happens many times for God's people is that we would readily say, yes, I believe there's a God. Yes, I believe that He made the world. Yes, I believe Jesus is His Son and He came and He died for my sin. I believe God raised Him from the dead. And based on that, I have expressed my faith by repenting of my sins, confessing that faith, and being baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. I believe those facts and I've acted upon those facts. But I'm not sure how I'm going to pay my house payment. And what he's saying to me is that faith is not just about believing certain facts from the past, but it's believing that God is involved in my life right now, and that He will continue to be involved in my life in the future. And that if I'll seek Him first, Matthew chapter 6 says, if I'll seek His kingdom and His righteousness, He'll help me through the other stuff. And so suddenly I have hope when it seems hopeless. I have a possible when others see the impossible. How are we living life? Captive to the present? Or free to have hope based on the great realities of the past? And to dream and plan and purpose and move forward with hope towards the possibilities and the place of reward in the future. If you are tired of living in worry and the captivity of the here and now, then I challenge you to lay hold of faith in Christ Jesus. Because it will not only change how you view now, but it'll change you in how you view what will be. If we can help you in any way in your relationship with God, would you please come and let's talk about it as we stand and sing.